Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On the line with us now is the one and only Trey Wingo. Trey is brought to us today by Caesars Sportsbook. Download and get started with a risk-free bet up to $1,001. Trey, of course, on Twitter at Wingos. He's kind enough to join us on Tuesdays. Trey, I want to try this take on for you and see how you feel about it. So I know,
wonderful.
It felt like to me the prepackaged take was, see, Super Wild Card Weekend sucked. Like, look at the final scores. Like, that was, to me, it felt very much like the people that week one when the college football playoff rankings came out and Cincinnati was six, like they just predetermined that they were going to be upset. There were obviously some teams in there that I don't think were great playoff teams in the annals of history. Shout out to you for nailing, by the way, the Kansas City-Pittsburgh game. But to me, I think the bigger issue was week 17. If the season would have ended in week 16, you know, we get the Chargers in there with Herbert, and I think that's a more interesting matchup probably with what we saw with the Raiders, although the Raiders, at least, shout out, they were kind of competitive. And then we would have gotten the Colts instead of the Steelers. To me, it was the 17-game schedule that was the problem, not Super Wild Card Weekend.
Well, yeah, but either way, what we're talking about is never going to change.
Correct.
You're probably accurate, but the reason there's a 17th game is because everyone wanted to make more money. And the reason that we have seven seeds in the playoffs is because everybody wants to make more money. The players make more money. You could argue not enough. The NFL makes a lot more money. All the networks make more money. This is not about need. It was about greed, for lack of a better term. And we all watched. I mean, it's like, you know, some people like to hate watch, you know, but you watched. I don't disagree with you. The Eagles, come on, in the regular season, they were 1-7 against teams that finished 500 or better. That's the worst record ever for a playoff team.
I watched them lose to my New York football Giants, and I can tell you, having watched that team play for 17 games, Trey, they sucked. They were awful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, that was the infamous Jalen Reagor game, right,
yes,
where he had two chances to win the game. Then, of course, Reagor muffs the punt in the playoff game against the Bucs that really precipitated that entire thing going sideways. And the Steelers, look, it was just, I don't want to say that was obvious, but it was like, what are they possibly going to do to keep up with the Chiefs? And, like, think about it. The Steelers played a perfect first quarter. They got two turnovers. They got a defensive touchdown, and they still got their asses kicked. I mean, they were down 21-7 at the half. Third and 20, sure, I'll throw a 47-yard touchdown pass because of Patrick Bleep and Mahomes. So it is what it is, and it's not changing. You can hate the wild card weekend or you can hate week 17, and that's fine, but the reality is it ain't moving, and it's the new reality.
What was more impressive to you when it felt like, as you mentioned, with the Chiefs, that they kind of needed old school, like Andrew Luck, when he would talk about how he kind of needed to get hit before he would, like, really get into it? It felt like they needed to get punched in the mouth, and then once they flipped it on, it's like, okay, now they're throwing touchdown passes with tight ends. Like, they're finding another running back to get it to in the playoffs. Like, it just felt like a machine versus what we saw with the Bills on Saturday night. And, you know, it's one of those situations where I'm not even really sure on offense that the Patriots were that bad, but it's just like, when the other team is literally scoring every single time they touch the football, there's just nothing you can do. Who did you find more impressive at their peak? Was it the Bills or was it the Chiefs?
Well, I'm going to take this sort of a different way, because I'm glad you brought that up. we've never seen a game like what we saw between the Bills and the Patriots in the history of the NFL. They never punted. They never kicked a field goal. They never turned it over on downs. In other words, they got every yard that was available to them. Every single yard that they could have gotten in that game, they achieved. That has never happened before in NFL history. And for lack of a better term, it felt like that was the entire city of Buffalo, their fans, their players, anybody in the upper great western area of New York, a cleansing that was 20 years in the making. Like, that was the ultimate high colonic, for lack of a better term. All the bad stuff that Bill Belichick had made them swallow over two decades came out in one masterful performance. So from a team perspective, that was by far the most impressive thing I saw. Now, as far as the Chiefs, I think we're at a point now where we don't understand what we're watching when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. I think our expectations, or we've just sort of, not even expectations, we just sort of accepted that what we saw Sunday is what we're always going to see from him. And that speaks to how mind-blowingly talented he is. Okay, for example, Josh Allen, great game. 300 and whatever yards, 5 touchdown passes, phenomenal. Patrick Mahomes had 5 touchdowns and 400 passing yards. And let's just put this in perspective, right? In the annals of NFL playoff history, twice that's happened. Twice in the history of the NFL that we've had a quarterback throw for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns in a playoff game. Ben Roethlisberger did it once in his career, which started in 2004, and Patrick Mahomes has done it once in his career, which started really in 2018, even though he's drafted in 2017, he only played one game, and he didn't play in the postseason. So now let's take it a step further. That's the second time in Patrick Mahomes' playoff career, which again started in 2018, that he's had a game with 5 touchdown passes. Only 2 other quarterbacks in the history of the NFL can make that claim. Hall of Famer Kurt Warner and Daryl LaMonica, the Mad Bomber quarterback for the old AFL Oakland Raiders. What we are seeing on a consistent basis from Patrick Mahomes is so out of this world, over the top good, we've gotten used to it, and it's really, we're not giving him enough credit, and people need to understand that. Like, this guy, he's a comet that's blazing across the sky, and eventually it'll stop, but my God, it's just, it's mind-blowing the things he's able to do.
And honestly, I feel like as a quarterback, he got better this year because teams kept saying,
correct,
all right, we're going to play the cover four shell. You're not hitting the home runs on us. We're not going to let you do
right.
that. We're going to make you drive the field, and we're going to see if you can do it. And I think even Collinsworth pointed it out on Sunday night. Like, he has become a more patient quarterback, and that makes him, honestly, more dangerous. It's almost as if we've gotten to the Steph Curry level with him where –
yeah.
When he does something incredible and amazing, like, it's just like, oh, what do you expect? It's Mahomes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're almost numb
right.
to it at this point.
You're right. And it's like, again, 3rd and 20 from the 47-yard line. Nah, I'll just throw a touchdown pass to Travis Kelce.
Yep.
Run outside the pocket, find him, hit him in stride. And what's the one thing we never say with quarterbacks? Never run one way and throw back across the field the other way. Well, on a 3rd down play, he did that and hit Byron Pringle in the hands. And it went through Byron Pringle's hands. Otherwise, that would have scored again. I mean, look, people can say, oh, he's overrated, all this. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, if anything, Patrick Mahomes at this point in his career is underrated. If anything, logically, he is underrated. He is not overrated.
No, I completely agree with you. It's almost as if because he's so physically gifted that it's kind of, you know, to me, it's also like with Shaq when he was in his prime. It's like, yeah, well, he's just, like, touched by God, so we just, like, we kind of dismiss
yeah.
it, and it's the same thing. It's like, I don't think the average human being understands what he is able to do and how he's able to throw from as many, you know, awkward angles, and everything he's able to do is just, it's nothing short of amazing. I want to move on, though. Let's get to last night. Matthew Stafford
yeah.
gets his first playoff win. To me, kind of the story of the game, though, was, yes, congratulations, Matthew Stafford gets his win, but you know, I didn't feel like it was like, oh, he was amazing. He did his job. Like, I would never knock the performance. But to me, the bigger story was, is that Rams defense settling in at a level that they're just, you know, they're essentially could be like what the Bucs were last year at this time, where yeah, they kind of stubbed their toe going down to the finish, but when this defense starts playing at that level, there's just not much you can do.
Well, that's interesting. We'll find out. Who do they play next? They go to Tampa to play the Bucs. Look, I thought there was no player under more pressure in Wild Card Weekend than Matthew Stafford, for what you just said. And no one's waited. I mean, he was the first overall pick of the 2009 draft. 2009, and this was his first playoff win. Now, you could argue the 2014 game where the Cowboys lost, where they picked up the flag, and said there wasn't pass interference. Was like, what are you talking about? It could have happened then. But he had more pressure on him with that offer in the playoff column and the fact that the Rams invested everything in him, right? Like, the Rams treat, you know, first-round picks like most of us treat paper towels. We just throw them away. And it's working for them, which is the amazing thing. But there was more pressure on him, I think, than any other player on Wild Card Weekend, and he delivered. And the other thing we learned in that game last night was that maybe Odell Beckham wasn't the problem in Cleveland. And, yes, you could say that he's been renewed and he has a different attitude. All that is true. But we all knew the player that he was, and it's up upon the organization that makes the trade for him in Cleveland to find a way to make it work. So, you know, he has more touchdowns now in a half a season with the Rams than he had, or the same number of touchdowns, rather, than he had in a season and a half with the Cleveland Browns. That's on the Browns for that being that screwed up. It's not on Odell.
I also think there's an element where, while Kupp is not a traditional number one, like, you can tell Stafford kind of looks to him. So they've gotten Odell to buy into the role that he has. And it's like, that's that to me, like, they deserve credit for that. But, you know, to your point, I don't know if you watched the Manning cast, but Peyton was very upfront about it. He's like, man, when I was 0-3, like, you can say all the things that you want to say, you know, it's just another game, whatnot. But he's like, it weighs on you. And I do think that it was probably big for Stafford to get that one out of the way.
It was. And look, what you just said actually is very prescient. And I don't know if you realize how smart you were in what you just said. So all your listeners are going to love you for this. Eric Yarber is the receiver coach for the Rams. He's a former teammate of my good friend Mark Slayer, who called games. They played together at Idaho. And they have gotten Odell to buy in to what Cooper Kupp does. You know, look, you want to be excellent here? Let's do the little things. You're going to have to block. You're going to have to read routes a little better. You're going to have to understand all this stuff. And by playing along that way, he sort of revitalized and reinvented himself. So that's a really good point by you, because by seeing how things work in L.A., Odell has become a better version of himself. There's no question.
How big of a story is what Joe Burrow's doing right now in your mind?
Listen, you could make a very compelling argument that the best young skill position player group in the NFL is in Cincinnati.
Yep.
Joe Burrow is 25 years old. Joe Mixon is 25 years old. Jamar Chase is under 25. T. Higgins is under 25. I don't know if there's a team that would trade that four-deep set for any other four-deep set. Now, obviously, you have Tyreek and Travis and Mahomes in Kansas City, but they don't really have a fourth. Like, Mecole Hardman, maybe. Byron Pringle, occasionally. You know, they've tried to make Josh Gordon that guy, but he was a healthy scratch for the playoff game. So the nucleus that they have in place under Zach Taylor, and I texted Zach after the game. I was like, yep, we were all wrong. We told you to take Penei Sewell, and it turns out Jamar Chase was exactly the right guy for you to take.
Yeah.
And he's been wonderful for them. It's interesting now, though, because they got to go to Tennessee, and, you know, Derrick Henry might be ready to roll. And that changes everything.
Oh, there's no question, because Tannehill plays at such a different level with Derrick Henry. You know,
you get
an extra defender in the box, and he's, you know, it's a lot easier for him to throw, and it makes him a completely different quarterback. But along those lines, who do you think's under more pressure? Let's say the Titans do get Derrick Henry back. Is it the Titans or is it the Packers?
I actually think it's Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. Because I am firmly in the camp that this is going to be his last year. And they've been here before, right? Like, we've seen the Packers before as the number one seed. Last year, couldn't win a home game at Lambeau against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 2011, the year after they won the Super Bowl, number one seed. Bye. can't beat the lowly Giants, and they looked rusty after that one. And now they get a 49ers team that's coming in there, and granted, Jimmy G has his limitations. And that game Sunday against the Cowboys was the entire Jimmy G experience, the good, the bad, and the extremely ugly. But they know what they are. Like, the Niners, I think more than almost any other team, know their DNA and what they need to do to win, and they are all in 100%. They play bully ball, and they're going to run it. Their offensive coordinator, Mike McDaniel, is a very young, creative offensive mind in this game, and I don't think enough people know who he is. And the things that they can do with Debo and their running game and the motion they put in it is poetry. I mean, it's actual poetry. And it's tough. And this is really, you know, when they put out that tweet, the last dance, I believe this is the last dance for those two guys together. And it would be an absolute shame if his Green Bay Packer career ended. And you're telling me you had, at any given time, if not the one and the two, and at worst, the third best quarterback in football. You guys went to one Super Bowl with that guy. That's a lot of pressure on the Packers organization going into this one.
If you're the Cowboys, what do you do?
Fire everybody.
I mean, come on. I honestly, like, I felt like I was taking crazy pills because I saw people saying, like, this is the right call. It's the right call. It's like, in high school football, they tell you, like, guys, even if the clock stops for a first down, we have 12 seconds. Well, that doesn't stop in the NFL. Like, I just felt like I was taking crazy pills when people were defending it.
Look, if you're going to make that call, the one thing you can't do is run for as long as Dak ran. So you can say this is the call, but you can't say run until you feel like you're going to get tackled. You have to say as soon as you get the first down and you count to five in your head, just get down. And then you have maybe 9 seconds to try and do it. It was a disaster from start to finish. And Kellen Moore made the call. Mike McCarthy okayed the call. And I think that this play is actually going to have lasting damage on Kellen Moore's ability to be a head coach. Much in the same way, albeit at a much higher level, that Darrell Bevell, who was the offensive coordinator for the Seahawks in Super Bowl 49, chose to throw it inside on the goal line to his fourth best receiver instead of throwing it out, where if it's not an incompletion, if it's not a catch, it's an incompletion, or just give it to Marshawn Lynch because, you know, he's probably going to get in there. And that turned that tide. And just so people understand historically, they would have been the first team since the Patriots to repeat as Super Bowl champs, which no one has done.
Yep.
And Pete Carroll would have been the only coach in football history, and I granted one of them was taken away, but I don't, you know, the games were played. I don't acknowledge the fact that you just arbitrarily decided to take a title away. To have multiple championships in college and in the NFL. That's how bad that decision was. And that's how bad that decision was on Sunday. So unless Mike McCarthy is fired and Jerry Jones hires Kellen Moore, I think that's going to be the first question he's asked. What were you thinking? Why did you think it was working? What would you work? And what did you say to Dak to make sure he knew about the time? And he's going to have to answer to that for a long, long time.
And then lastly, if you can only watch one game this weekend, what is it?
Chiefs-Bills.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the Niners-Packers is great, but give me two hot quarterbacks.
Yeah,
and
I'm with you.
You know, that one is just, come on, there's a reason that's the Sunday night game, okay?
Yeah.
Like, that. There's a reason that one's the capper. And it's going to be so much fun. I'm just curious because sometimes after a game like Buffalo where it was so emotional, right, and it meant so much to that city and that team, and you laid it all out there, sometimes that's a hard thing to duplicate. And you can say whatever you want about the Bills and how the Chiefs have struggled this year. I'll give you this. The Chiefs have lost one game at Arrowhead in Patrick Mahomes' career. And it's a game they shouldn't have lost because if D4 doesn't line up off sides in the 2018 AFC Championship game, Daniel Sorensen has a game-ending pick six on Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the Chiefs potentially going to a fourth straight Super Bowl, not potentially a third straight Super Bowl. I don't think anyone's going to Arrowhead and it's going to take out the Chiefs. They may have to go to Tennessee, and we all saw what happened the last time they played. Different Chiefs team now. But I think that in Arrowhead, I don't think the Chiefs are losing.
Trey, we appreciate it. This was great.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
That is Trey Wingo on the line. He's presented by Caesars Sportsbook. You can sign up today and get a risk-free bet up to $1,001.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.